What's behind rooting interest? What makes fans try to distract free throw shooters on opposing basketball teams? And why does free stuff at sporting events seem to make people lose their minds? Sam Summers and L. John Wertheim turn to psychology and behavioral science to help us understand what motivates sports fans to act as they do. They are the co-authors of This Is Your Brain on Sports, The Science of Underdogs, The Value of Rivalry, and What We Can Learn from the T-Shirt Cannon. John, what did the T-Shirt Cannon phenomenon teach you about human nature?
Well, I think we're always mystified. You go to these games, and the loudest applause of the night, unfailingly, is for when these cheap, poorly made shirts of indiscriminate size are thrown into the crowd. And we were both baffled about why it is that this seems to be such a constant in sport. And Sam is an experimental psychologist, and we concluded that, first of all, there's a scarcity effect. If everybody got one at the entrance, that would be less valued. And also, those T-shirts are free, and there is a lot of psychology that tells us that we are completely irrational animals when free is on the line. We will do anything to avoid paying. So this T-shirt cannon, I think quite inadvertently, the sports marketers have seized on something that really taps into human psychology and is a wildly effective promotion.
One of the potentially confusing chapter titles in this book, or at least it confused me, is Why Rooting for the Mets is Like Building the IKEA Desk. Sam, is this because no matter how hard you work on the desk, when you're finished, it wobbles, or is that just the stuff from IKEA that I build?
It's a brilliant business model. You think about the IKEA model. So you're going there, you're buying this furniture with names you can't pronounce, letters you don't even recognize. And at the end of it, it's this wobbly, rickety, slightly askew, at least the way I put it together, floor and board or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, you value it a little bit more for having gone through that struggle.
So that's it. The Mets are awful. You know they're going to be awful, but because you've invested your sentiment in it, because you care, is that it?
Yeah, it's something that behavioral scientists refer to as the effort justification idea. And so it's similar actually to rushing a fraternity or sorority or joining any organization that has an initiation. Why would I put myself through something so painful, uncomfortable, unpleasant, embarrassing, if not for the fact that the end result, it must be so important to me? Same kind of idea here, rooting for a perpetually losing team. And of course, we picked the Mets and they even screwed that up for us because they had a good year. But so we had to edit a little bit.
Give me a rewrite.
Yeah, we had the rewrite.
The Mets failed to cooperate with your speculation in this book.
They failed to cooperate until the World Series.
Then they became the Mets again.
Orange and blue shone through. But effort justification.
Basketball fans have been in the news for creative ways in which they have tried to distract free throw shooters of the opposite team. My favorite was a bunch of guys who pretended to have somebody giving birth behind the basket while somebody was shooting foul shots. Anyway, you've discovered that such hijinks as that rarely work. Why do fans keep doing it, Sam?
We like to have the sense that we are exerting some sort of control over what's going on there in the game and in life more generally. This notion of standing there idly by and watching is somehow unfulfilling to us. And there is this sort of action bias that we have in life to at least do something. If I'm going to be there, I should at least do something. And it works for the fans who are waving their thunder sticks behind the free throw line. One of the most effective free throw things I've ever seen is just complete silence, right? That's sort of eerie.
And athletes, too. We came across one study where if goalie during penalty kicks in soccer simply stayed where they were, it would be more effective than diving to one side or the other. But imagine if you were the goalie and you just stood in place. The ball blitzed behind you. The obvious charge would be, well, why didn't you do something? This is the bias we have beyond sports as well. This is why doctors overprescribe. This is why investors and fund managers buy and sell too soon. We have this bias toward action. We don't want to be accused of just sitting on our hands.
John, you begin This Is Your Brain on Sports by suggesting that goofy as the behavior of fans is, it's tempting to figure that, and I'm quoting again here, in the universe of sports, the usual rules of behavior and social convention don't apply. But did you discover that that wasn't true, or did you know all along that that wasn't true and the whole thing's a setup?
I'll cop to a bit of a setup. No, I think that the premise for the book is that these sort of tropes and these themes and habits and sports, on their face, they're irrational. They don't make sense. And I think a lot of us are comfortable with it because it sort of reinforces that sports are this parallel universe and sports are diversion. And there are all sorts of crazy instances from the T-shirt cannon to the best players making lousy coaches to the effects of rivalry. And Sam and I really wanted to attack this and say, A, what really are the underpinnings here? It's got to be deeper than, hey, it's just crazy sports. And B, what are the applications beyond sports? So what we found is a lot of this behavior in sports that on its face appears so irrational is in fact perfectly rational and impacts us in our daily life.
You know, it strikes me that it is, of course, completely irrational for anybody to root for one group of multimillionaires to beat another group of multimillionaires just because they happen to be wearing a shirt that represents the city where you live. But this is so common in our culture that we just take it for granted. And maybe that's why it doesn't seem at all irrational.
Yeah, it comes down to the great Jerry Seinfeld line about rooting for laundry at the end
exactly.
of the day. When you talk to people about their sports team affiliation, you hear them almost discuss it in mystical, spiritual, almost religious tones sometimes. And this really is a book for sports fans, but also for all of us as parents, for all of us as business people, for all of us who are interacting with one another and showing these very same phenomena that sometimes we chalk up to the sports fan as being unique, but it's not.
John, you cover sports for a living. Has your behavior as a fan changed at all as a result of researching and writing the book? And has your rooting interest changed in any way?
I'm not sure about rooting interest, Bill, but certainly how I cover this and how I perceive sports. And sports are so funny. I mean, you're right. At some level, we're rooting for strangers who happen to be wearing jerseys and laundry that we like. And in other ways, there's so much wrapped up in sports. It's a way of identifying. It's a way of self-identifying. It's a pretext for our values. How many times do you hear, oh, the team is built in the image of the city? And what you realize is that sports have this very unique piece of terrain in the culture. And yet, really, as Sam says, this is just the same behavior that we ourselves are practicing in 100 other ways. It's really just human behavior.
L. John Wertheim and Sam Summers are the authors of This Is Your Brain on Sports. And I'm not going to read the subtitle again. It's just too long. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill, thanks so much.